You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13. This is the Michael K. Show podcast.
I'm joyful and fun.
Listen live weekday afternoon starting at 2.
That's cool, man!
On 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.
Welcome back to the Michael K. Show, everybody. The Bucks are the champions of the NBA. 72-game season. Bucks fell back 2-0 a couple of series, and they battled back, and Antetokounmpo takes his rightful place, and he should have been anyway because he was a two-time MVP with all the other greats in the NBA, now has a title to go along with it. And the man who called the action along with Jeff Van Gundy and Mark Jackson on ABC was our good friend Mike Breen, and he joins us now. Mike, how you doing?
Hello, Mercury. How are you?
Good. Are you home yet?
Do I have to call you that all the time now?
Yes, you do.
All right. All I know is I turned on the radio and you said something about you're tighter now than when you were 35.
You heard that? Looking. Yeah, yeah. You'd agree.
What are
you
guys talking about today?
We're talking about everything.
Yeah.
You're tighter now than when you were 19, I'll say that.
Well, I was a slob at 19. I was a slob at 35.
I wouldn't say slob.
No, because you're nice, but you know I was a slob at 19.
You weren't a slob. You were hefty.
See?
A hefty slob.
More of you to love.
So obviously you're back in New York.
Yeah, I flew home this morning.
Okay, so what was that like last night? And this is not even connected to the game. As I'm watching you guys wrap it up and I'm seeing, you know, 65, how did you guys get out of the place?
Well, I've never seen anything like that. And as you know, Milwaukee is a fairly small downtown. So just to fit that many people, and they were just all over the place afterwards. And, you know, it isn't far to walk because it was going to take like 45 minutes to what normally takes 5 minutes. Mm-hmm. But we were afforded a police escort, and even that took forever and ever because there was nowhere to go. It's not that big a downtown. It's such a great small town downtown. Mm-hmm. I agree with you. Milwaukee, especially in the summer, is a great place. But no, it took a long time. But they weren't rowdy. They were just deliriously happy.
But to just get that atmosphere, Mike, coming off of COVID and coming off of being in a bubble last year, just really enhanced it.
You know, I've been trying to think of why I enjoyed this year's playoffs as much as any playoffs I've ever done, and I think that's the reason. Because of where we were, because of the contrast between doing the games in the bubble last year and doing in some of the atmospheres this year were just, you know, as good as I've seen or heard. And I think it might have to do with, because you almost forgot. I kept saying throughout the whole time when they weren't fans how, boy, I've never appreciated the fans more than now in their absence. You know, the absence makes the heart grow fonder. But it was incredible. And I think everybody's spirit at the different arenas was just at a different level because of what you just said. And that's understandable. And then you add to the fact that in the finals you have two teams, you know, it's been decades since then either one of them were in the finals. So that newness of being in the championship round, add to what we've all been through in the past year, not being able to go to games. It just made for, again, as an enjoyable atmosphere and as an enjoyable playoff run as I've ever been a part of.
Was it also, like, palpable to you that this team was so immediately likable? It just seemed as the playoffs went on, more and more people started to appreciate that this Bucks team is not a super team. They're a homegrown team, sort of a really, you know, lunch pail kind of gritty basketball team. And I've never seen sort of a random team, Mike, that by the time they clinched was so popular with the general fan base.
Yeah, there's no question it grew, but you know, being around the veteran guys, Holiday, Middleton, obviously Giannis, Lopez, PJ Tucker, all of them have been some of my favorite players to talk to. They have such great perspective. They're so professional, courteous, considerate, thoughtful, the whole thing, all, you know, different levels. But it's a great group. Drew Holiday is one of my all-time favorite athletes that I've ever met. He's just something special about him. And then, you know, it's taken a while to get to know Giannis Antetokounmpo a little bit better. But as you can plainly see, he's an extraordinary young man. His perspective, you know, he charms everybody he comes in contact with. And that comes from not just like the little kids that he gives his sneakers to after every single game. He has charmed a hardened media to the point where they, like, you know, you sit there and you listen to him and you can't believe the maturity of this 26-year-old. And granted, his life story is kind of forced to maturity in some ways, but it's incredible. It's incredible to see his growth from when he first came in to now, not just as a player, but as a young man. And I think people just, you know, again, they were charmed by him and drawn to him because of his character and how genuine he comes across.
Talking to the Hall of Famer Mike Breen from ESPN and the MSG Network, was it perhaps unfair that he had to prove something to people because he didn't have a title? He's one of these guys, Mike. I don't know if you sense this. There's so many great players in sports, and we always accentuate what they do well rather than accentuate what they don't do well. And everybody seems to accentuate what he didn't do well. And I'm glad that he was able to erase that. Do you feel that way, too, that he was unfairly lasered in on, well, he can't hit free throws, he can't do this, he's not a good outside shooter, rather than what he does well?
Well, not necessarily, and for this reason. I mean, he's been a two-time MVP. His jersey sales have been up near the top in the last several years, so he's been a fan favorite. But the problem has been, in terms of the narrative on his career, is he had a couple of, and has still, you know, some fairly glaring flaws that prevented him from having the kind of success in the playoffs that he had in the regular season. And they were legit and still are legit. That's why last night's game, it's inexplicable in the biggest game of his life to have, you know, one of the great free throw shooting performances. Steph Curry would have been glad to have that free throw shooting performance last night. But no, you know, that's the interesting thing, in that he's able to dominate and score 50 points without a jump shot. He really doesn't have a jump shot. And in most cases, he struggles at the free throw line, doesn't really shoot threes well at all either. He's starting to develop a little bit of a mid-range. But it's incredible what he's able to accomplish and the numbers he's able to put up, even with these flaws. So I don't think it's unfair, because I think it prevented him from previously achieving the postseason success they had hoped. But I'm like you. I feel so happy for the young man because, and I said this last night, even the criticism, even the painful playoff losses, and he had some where he really struggled, it never dimmed his joy. I mean, he just has a joy about him when he plays and with his teammates. And it's, I don't want to say it's rare, but it's just so enjoyable to see in today's day and age with, you know, where things can be so harsh on the spotlight on so many of these players.
Mike, able to pinpoint what happened to the Suns after going up 2-0?
I do think the playoff experience that Milwaukee had, you know, and that they went through those hard losses like Phoenix did. I do think there's something to that. You know, Milwaukee experience, they knew what it felt like to lose. They tried to figure out, okay, we lost doing this. Now we're gonna win doing this. I think that makes a difference. You know, it's like, you know, Michael Jordan and the Bulls had to get past the Pistons, had to lose to them a few times before they advanced. And so I think that had something to do with it. And I just think that what Mike Budenholzer did defensively, and just sicking Drew Holiday first on Booker, then on Chris Paul, And then, you know, putting a big body like P.J. Tucker, I think it wore Chris Paul down, and he still had some good stretches, but he wasn't the same since Game 6 of the Conference Finals and Game 1 of the Finals. And they gave Booker problems, too. And if those two are not operating on and all cylinders, that's tough to beat a team like Milwaukee.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You think Paul's going to opt out of that $40 million? And did he get exposed as, let's be honest, he's 36. He's going to wear down. Or is there still a big contract for him if he opts out? And can he sign for 3 years, $100 million somewhere else?
Well, I clearly have no idea what he's going to do. All I do know is that he loves this group, and he loves Monty Williams. So I think if he did it, it would be a very difficult decision because of what he's built this year. And again, he doesn't want to go to a place that, you know, is a pretty good team that, you know, could maybe advance in the playoffs. He wants to win now, and they've got a chance of winning, as they've shown. Now, you know, clearly there were some key injuries to teams they faced in the playoffs that did make a difference and aided them. But to me, that doesn't diminish what they did, because whatever challenge was ahead of them, they conquered. But I think that, you know, they're going to work to add to the pieces. They do need, obviously, some more pieces. But I just – he seems to have a special relationship with that group. And I think it would be hard for him to leave. But I have no idea where his head's at with now, you know, in terms of where he's going to go.
By the way, Mike, the Mets won 7-0. That's just in against Cincinnati. So they finished 3-3
on the road
trip.
Did Stroman go the distance, by the way?
No. Familia pitched the last inning.
Okay, thank you.
Mike, what do you think stands out? This series had so many moments. When you think of the calls for you, is it the Giannis block in Game 4? Is it the Game 5 momentum switch from the holiday steal to the oop to Giannis? What do you think's the moment of this series?
It's hard to pinpoint one. I do think that block was one of the most spectacular plays. I mean, just, again, where he started the play and DeAndre Ayton was behind him for him to finish that. I don't know, for some reason, my whole life as a basketball fan, there was something special about a block shot and a defensive play that's made because of effort and anticipation and instinct. And that was just, it was one of the great blocks I've ever seen. And obviously it's such an important time. And block shots like that are, there's, number one, they're so deflating for the team that had it blocked. And number two, it's just like, it's like this motivational push for the team that gets the block. It just, you know, it just charges you up so much. So that was a play. But so was the other one. I mean, but throwing those alley-oops to him, he's making them seem routine because of his athleticism. But the block might be, that might be the play of the finals.
Now, I'm wondering, were these players exhausted, Mike? And, you know, you went through it, not playing, but announcing last year with the bubble and the season ending when it did in a quick turnaround. Was it weird doing games, you know, championship games at the end of July? Are you looking forward to it getting back on the normal calendar?
I am looking forward to getting back on the normal calendar. It wasn't weird because, you just do it and you keep going until the season's over. But it you could see there were some nights, and each player is different, obviously. But there were some nights you could see, even, you know, great players who were in great shape, that they just didn't have the same zip. It was a long, hard season, coming off a shortened off season, and the mental challenge of the bubble, and for the teams that spent a great deal of time down there, it was. You know, it's draining on a lot of them. I give the players and the coaches and all the teams and the staff and the NBA people as well just so much credit for getting it done, because it was mentally draining. You know, just the fact that you had to go get tested every day, even if you didn't play, even if you didn't have practice, you had to get tested every day. And we were getting, I get tested quite a bit just in the last couple of months, and sometimes two or three times a day, and it just wears on you. It's just like, it doesn't sound like a lot, but when you do it day after day after day. So there were times where you could see a guy, he just didn't have it that night, and still may have put up decent numbers, but you could tell he didn't have that explosiveness, especially, you know, some of the big players. Like Chris Middleton, a couple of times during these playoffs, he looked just absolutely exhausted. And Antetokounmpo, absolutely exhausted. But, you know, they all went through it the same thing, and I give them so much credit for fighting through those two teams and overcoming every challenge that was thrown at them this year.
Now, when you say goodbye to Jeff and Mark, are you just relieved that you're just tired of them, or are you going to miss them?
No, well, we're all, the three of us, we've talked to our respective wives, and we're going on vacation together, just the three
nice.
Of us, because it's just more quality time. I think it gives us better chemistry. We just haven't decided on where we're going yet.
I love it. Now, Monday, I'm off, Mike, so, I mean, are you ready for social interaction, or you need to wind down?
I'm ready for social interaction, yeah.
Summer of Mercury.
Any time with you, Mercury.
Yeah, so Mercury and Mike, we'll do something on Monday, all right?
Is this going to stick now? Like a caller's going to call you Mercury?
I really hope so. Because I my shape is the way it's supposed to be, you know, whichever way the world calls for it.
But honestly, Mike, we brought it up on the air. You're great, but you were superhuman this series. You were spot on. We even commented, I can't imagine there was anything that bugged you at the end of a game. That's how perfect you
were. Yeah, Mr. Perfectionist. There's no way you could have gone over and said, I wish I did that better. No way.
Oh, see, you know better than anybody. That's never the case. There's always one or two things, and sometimes a lot more that, you know, you just – that's happened. But that's very kind of you. It was so much fun. It was so easy to get crazed and excited and fun. And when you work with two analysts like the way I work with these guys, it's just – it's such a blast with them. My job is so much easier with them, and we had a great time. But thank you very much.
I'll tell you what, though. It would never happen, but if I ever got into a Hall of Fame, I'd stop putting in the work. I mean, I'd just phone it in.
Oh, you know that's not true.
I'm a Hall of Famer.
What a liar.
Hall of Famer. They can't take that away. They're not taking it away.
Was he always a liar?
Well, he is a liar about that, because there's no way he would go on the air without being – putting in the work. There's no way. I just know him.
If I had a plaque in Cooperstown, oh, please. I'd stroll in, probably wouldn't even shave.
You would you would retire before you would do that.
I don't know. You don't know me that well, do you?
Although, no, you like money, so maybe you wouldn't retire.
But you also know that he's never satisfied. You know, he's voice of the Yankees, but he's local yokel, right? He is an afternoon drive show, but everything's a but. He'd be a Hall of Famer, but. And that would drive him to be better and to work harder. He would never smell the roses. He's not meant to do that. The only roses he's going to smell are the ones that are on his coffin.
Oh, my goodness.
Wow,
that was a little harsh, dog.
Took a turn, didn't it?
And how's he going to smell those?
All right, let me ask you. It was harsh.
If I could smell them, there's a problem.
But was it accurate?
No. All right. Not entirely.
See?
The perfectionist part is you're right on the money. But he does sometimes smell the roses.
Mike, I'll see you Monday.
Case. Do you, Peter?
Yes. I smell the roses. I'm smelling them right now.
No.
Mike, great job. Yep. Great job.
Thank you, guys.
Be well. Thanks.
All right. See you.
That's Mike Breen. Now, did a great job on the finals.
He doesn't play our reindeer games.
Because he tells the truth.
No, I just don't think he plays our reindeer games.
All right, I'm being told and yelled at that we have to break.
Okay,
he doesn't want to double up.
Andrew doesn't play them either.
Yeah. Anyway, Kay LeGreca, Rosenberg, Breen, and you right here on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael Kay Show podcast. Hear more of Michael, Don, and Peter live weekday afternoons starting at 2 on 98.7 ESPN in New York, the ESPN app, the TuneIn app, or on your smart speaker.